Today's piece of armor is the shield of faith. And as I was thinking about that, it's not like a shield is a part of our everyday life, what we do in modern, 2014 America. So I begin to think, what probably is the most recognizable shield in 2014 in our American culture? And I came up with this. Hey, come on. We are talking Steve Rogers, puny, frail, all-American patriot in World War II, given a serum to become a super soldier who later was frozen and woke up in our modern world as a superhero. I am talking Captain America, okay? Captain America, who had a movie out this spring. He's known for his red, white, and blue super shield. And I would guess it's one of the most recognizable shields in our culture today, and I feel really stupid standing here right now, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Captain America's shield was made of some super unknown metal, and this metal is said to be indestructible, and it can absorb any blow from about anything you can throw at it. And Captain America's shield is defensive. It stops stuff from hitting him or hitting other people. But you may not know that Captain America's shield is also offensive. He throws it like some kind of super bad super frisbee, and it takes people out. It's rare to see Captain America without his shield. He does not leave home without it because he knows the importance of his shield. Well, that's all fine and dandy because indestructible red, white, and blue shields and superheroes is not the real world. It'd be pretty good if we could grab one once in a while. But it's not the real world. We're real people in the real world, and this real world can really be rough. But if you are a follower of Christ, this thing's a joke. Man, oh man, do I have a shield for you. It is not only indestructible, it is indescribable. And it's called the shield of faith. And here's the goal today. I pray when you walk out of this building today, your faith is going to be strong. Whatever you're facing in your life, you don't have one of these, but you have a shield of faith. And I pray your faith is going to really be strong. We're talking about suiting up, wearing the armor of God, because we all know that our world and our life is filled with so many struggles. And we know where those struggles come from. The reason we know is because God in His Word tells us why there is such a struggle in our world. We don't have to guess why there's stuff going on inside of us and all the junk that goes on around us. We don't have to guess about it because God's Word tells us. And we are reading in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, which sets this entire series about the armor of God called Suit Up. We need to wear God's armor. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Again, God's word is clear. We're in the middle of an invisible, spiritual, cosmic, massive, supernatural, spiritual war. It impacts every one of us. It impacts every person we know and love. And it's happening all around us. The enemy is clearly identified in the verses we just read. His name is Satan. He attacks us all the time with discouragement, temptations, fear, and worry, because he wants you and I to doubt the truth of God's word. He wants you and I to doubt that God really cares for us and loves us and has a plan for our lives. And he wants you and I to become apathetic. He wants us to become so self-absorbed and so self-centered that we will not have a passion for Jesus, a passion for his church, and a passion for his mission to the world, because we are in the fight of our lives, for our lives, for our loved ones, and for this lost world that needs a savior. The good news about the armor of God that we have said every message in this series: believers, we are not called to join the war. We're already in it. You and I are right in the middle of it. There's no escaping it. And we are not called to win the war. Jesus has already won it. Nowhere does it say that the Christian life is easy. But the good news is, through Jesus in his empty tomb, he has already won the war. But even though the war has been won, we still face daily battles. But we face those battles in the Lord's power, wearing the Lord's armor from his victory he already accomplished. God has given us a basic battle plan of how to live strong in life's struggles, and it's the armor of God. Because Paul, who wrote what we just read in Ephesians 6, remember that he was a prisoner of Rome because he was a follower of Christ. 24 hours a day, he was chained to a Roman soldier under house arrest. If there was anyone in Rome, the world power of that day, if there's anyone in Rome who knew what a Roman soldier looked like, who knew the armor of a Roman soldier in detail, who knew the purpose of each piece of a Roman soldier's armor, it was this guy named Paul. And what God did in Paul's life for his benefit and for us, God says, Paul, I'm going to take each piece of the Roman soldier's armor and I'm going to give spiritual application to it. I want to take a piece of Roman soldier's armor that helped that soldier win the battles he faced in physical warfare. I want to paint a spiritual picture or teach spiritual truth how a piece of God's armor can give my people victory in the daily battles, the daily struggles that go on inside of them and go on around them. So we begin to look at the armor. The first two pieces were in verse 14. We talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We moved on to verse 15. Last week we talked about the gospel shoes. And this week we come to the fourth piece of armor, and it's the shield of the Roman soldier. And we're looking at verse 16, and we will pretty well break down this entire verse the rest of this message. It says this: above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. The Roman soldier's shield, Paul said, is like faith. So we need to understand, what is the Roman soldier's shield all about? What are fiery darts all about? And how does our faith, how does that relate to faith in our lives in this world we live in? Well, first of all, the Roman soldier's shield, Paul had seen a ton of them in his lifetime. There was a time when the Roman soldier's shield was kind of like Captain America's. It was round. It was small. They actually kept it on their belt. But over time, the Roman soldier's shield evolved. Matter of fact, the word shield in verse 16, it literally means the word door. Because Roman soldiers, by the time of Paul, had stopped having the little round shield. They now had this long rectangular shield that was 2 foot wide, 4 foot tall. It covered the Roman soldier from knees to his chin. They got rid of the little round one and got a big rectangular one. And matter of fact, the enemies of Rome, how they would describe Roman soldiers in their writing of that day, they called Roman soldiers, quote, those who carry doors. Because it looked like they were walking around carrying these doors because they had this door-shaped, door-sized shield that they would walk around in. Now, the shields themselves, these door-like shields, were made of really thick wood, covered in really thick leather, and it had iron trim around the side with iron studs on the front of it. When the Roman soldiers would go into battle, they would walk shoulder to shoulder with their shields in front of them, making this like wall. And in hand-to-hand combat, of course, they would use the shield for defensive purposes to stop, you know, a spear or a sword from hitting them. They would sometimes, the shields had these big metal knobs on the front of them. They would actually use the shield as an offensive weapon to push people down or knock them down, or they would thrust their sword from around the shield. But Paul mentions this thing called fiery darts in verse 16. Well, the fiery darts is really a fire arrow. The number one warfare tactic of the enemies of Rome was the fire arrow. Fire arrow. They did not want hand-to-hand combat with Roman soldiers, because that's not a good thing. So what they would do, they would take an arrow, they would dip the tip of the arrow in tar, they would set the arrow on fire. In just a moment, I'm going to get a lighter and I'm going to light this to show you. No, I'm not going to do that. They would light the tip of the arrow on fire, and from a great distance away, because they didn't want hand-to-hand combat, they would shoot that arrow up into the air at a really high arc to where it would rain down, thousands of arrows raining down on top of the Roman soldiers. The reason why they would do that, number one, obvious, they wanted to hit one of the Roman soldiers so it could wound them or kill them. Number two, with the fire arrows, even if they missed them with the arrows, it might set the grass on fire or the trees on fire around them, because they knew the strength of the Roman Empire was walking in a tight formation. And if they could rain all these fire arrows down on top of these Roman soldiers, they might be able to break up their tight formation. It might get individuals away where they would be more exposed. They wanted to either slow their advance or stop their advance. So they used the fire arrows. Now, to defend against the fire arrows, the Roman soldiers had this really cool warfare tactic that was called the testudo. Testudo is Latin for tortoise. They made like a turtle with their shields. You had the soldiers on the very front marching towards the enemy would lock their shields in place to make like a wall. And then the soldiers behind them would put the shields up over their head to make like a roof. So you can see, if you've got a wall in front of you of shields and a roof over you of shields, as the arrows come down, it's going to be like hitting a building. And because it looked like a turtle, the enemies called it the testudo in Latin, which means tortoise. Let me give you a kind of a thought of what that might have looked like. Watch this short video.
All right, Francisco, send in the reserve cohort. Testudo!
Of course, that's actual footage from the wars of Rome we found from thousands of years. No, it's just reenactment. But you get the picture of what it was like. Here's all these fire arrows coming down on you. You made this turtle shell and you stayed under it while you would keep walking forward. It's incredible. That's what Paul is thinking about our spiritual life when he writes that. He knows all that that we just shared there. Matter of fact, the Roman soldiers, it was common for them to soak their shields. Remember, made of wood and made of leather. They would soak them in water to make them even do a better job of extinguishing the fire from the fire arrows. Here's the bottom line. Those Roman legions walked shoulder to shoulder with their shields locked in place. They were unstoppable. They conquered the world at that time. Let all that soak in. That's a lot about Roman shields and fire arrows and turtles. And Paul says this: I want to take a Roman soldier's armor and give it spiritual application. I want to take the shield and the fire arrow and relate it to your faith. And my faith. Because here's the lesson today. For Christ followers, our faith is a shield that makes the attack of the enemy ineffective. Our faith is a shield that makes the attack of the enemy ineffective. We need to dive into that. First of all, let's talk about, again, the fire arrows, the fiery darts of the enemy. Because Paul said that. If you look again at the end of verse 16, he says, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He said earlier in verses 10 through 13, he called him the devil. Here he calls him the wicked one. It cracks me up in our politically correct world. Some people won't even say this, but let me say this. There is evil in the world. And behind evil is the devil, the wicked one. And he hates Jesus, and he hates you, and he hates me, and he hates this church. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And like the enemies of Rome would shoot those fire arrows, he shoots at us his fiery darts. And here's what I think that's about. When Satan attacks, he aims his arrows at one target, our thought life. Your thought life and my thought life. That's where he aims his fire arrows, is at our minds. Let me give you a verse of scripture. There's others we could look at, but 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. How did he attack Eve in the garden? Her mind, her thoughts. So your minds, in verse 3, so your minds, your thoughts, because Satan attacks us too, your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. Satan desires to conquer our thoughts because he knows our thoughts are what controls our life. Our attitudes begin with our thoughts. Our actions begin with our thoughts. So he wants to attack our thought life. He wants to conquer and control what we think. It's a battle for the mind. Because if he can control our thoughts, if he can influence what we think, that impacts our attitude and our actions. That's the fire arrows. He's got a quiver full of them. And his arrows come into our minds quickly, unexpectedly, from all directions. I mean, follow this real world example, okay? You and I are at work. We're at home with our family, maybe just, you know, doing what we normally do. Even sitting in church, and all of a sudden, boom, this thought hits our heads. Some of us would be embarrassed if people knew what it was. This evil thought, negative, destructive thought hits our heads. And we're like, where did that come from? That came from out of nowhere. That is a fire arrow of the enemy who shoots at our thoughts. That's not from God. God does not lie to us. God does not discourage us. God does not tempt us to do something evil or wicked. God does not tempt us with sin. Those are the fire arrows when you and I, we're just tooling through life and all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, where did that come from? Some kind of a thought. It's one of his arrows that hits our minds that says, what if God's not real and the Bible's fake? It's one of those arrows that hits us and says, you know, God's not for you. He's against you. It's one of those arrows that hit us with fear, with worry, with stress, with greed, with pride. It's a fire arrow from Satan that hits our thoughts with sinful thinking or sensual temptation. It's an arrow from the enemy that hits our thoughts that makes us angry about something or makes us want to gossip about someone or makes us be apathetic in our lives or be uncertain about our future to where we're paralyzed in fear. It's an arrow from the enemy that makes us think your life is missing something. If you just had this financial thing or this relationship in your life, if you just had this physical thing or this or that, then your life would be what it needs to be, because what he is doing is telling us that Jesus isn't enough in our lives. And he rains down his fire arrows on us. Let me ask you, what is that number one arrow he shoots into your head? Is it fear, lust, greed? You're so worried about stuff. That's not from God. It's from the enemy. And when he shoots his arrows at us, we have two choices. When Satan's arrows hit our thoughts, we have two choices. We extinguish it by faith, or we entertain it in our flesh. The thought itself is not sin. But if we entertain that evil thought, that negative thought, that unbelieving thought, that lustful thought, that God's not for me, negative thought, if we entertain it, if we dwell on it, if we chew on it, if we sink our teeth into it, if it occupies who we are, then it becomes sin, which leads to sinful activity, which leads to a stronghold in our lives. And you have believers right now who are paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by stress, paralyzed in lust or pornography, paralyzed by greed, paralyzed by materialism. Come to church, sing songs, but deep in their heart, Satan has conquered their thought life to where they have no joy. Satan wants to do with his fire arrows the same things that the enemy of Rome wanted to do with their fire arrows. He wants to wound you and wound me because he wants to hurt us. Because if we hurt, we will hate and not love. Some of you are always hurting people because you are such a hurting person. Because hurt people hurt people. And he wants to wound you so you won't love. He has the same goals as the enemy. He wants to break up the tight formation of God's people. He hates the love and unity to worship and mission of the local church. He wants to break up the formation so we'll be alone and exposed. He hates the unity in a Christian family, the unity of a Christian single parent with their children, the unity of a Bible fellowship class or a ministry team. He wants to break up our joy and break up our witness. He wants to break up our devotion and commitment to Jesus and to his church. Has the same exact goals. He wants to slow or stop our advance. He does not want us advancing, growing as disciples of Christ. He does not want us going on mission to make disciples for Christ. He wants to shoot those arrows into our thoughts because our thoughts are what control our lives. He wants to set everything on fire around us. Maybe he won't hit us, but maybe he can set everything around us on fire. He wants to bring chaos into our life because he knows, just like in the days of Rome, one little spark from one arrow, one little flame can grow into a huge fire. Because sin in your life and sin in my life usually normally never starts off like a great big giant thing. It starts off small and it's unseen and it smolders. It's one little compromise, one little whatever as we respond to one of his arrows, and then it grows and grows and grows. Dr. Greg Laurie said this: sin starts as a small thing, then it becomes a big thing, then it becomes everything. And this fire just consumes us. Understand, believers, in the spiritual war that we are in with our thought life, as long as you and as long as I, we are on planet Earth, there will never be a day that he does not rain down his fire arrows on your thoughts and my thoughts. So what do we do? Paul says you get behind the shield of faith. That's what he says in verse 16. It says, but taking the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Believers not only have saving faith, we have sustaining faith that we use in everyday life. Now, I'm glad we got saving faith. Saving faith is based on our relationship with Jesus. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Salvation is by grace. Faith is the channel that we receive the free gift of God in Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He arose from the grave in victory. And when we see our sins and turn from sins and trust in him through the channel of believing Jesus is who he said he is, and he's the only Savior, and I need forgiveness of sins through him, faith is the channel that we receive God's gift. We have saving faith. But a lot of Christians think that it stops there. The word faith in verse 16 is not talking saving faith. It's talking about sustaining faith. It's the faith that you and I use in everyday life once we are saved. There is a faith that you and I are to have as we go through life. And it's to be like a Roman soldier going through the world with his shield in front of him. That same word faith we see in 1 John chapter 5 verses 4 and 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, the real world in daily life. It's not a superhero named Captain America. It says it's our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Sustaining faith is not a leap in the dark. Sustaining faith is not positive thinking. It's a certainty. I not only believe in God, I believe God. You catch the difference? I not only believe in God, I believe God. I believe that God will do and has the ability to do everything he promised to do in his word. I am 100% confident and committed and devoted to my God as my creator and control of everything and my savior and my protector. And regardless of what I see, regardless of what I hear, regardless of what I feel, I will turn to my God, I will take him at his word, and I will trust him no matter what. You see, the shield of faith is not we have faith in faith. We don't have faith in faith. We don't have faith in ourselves. We don't have faith in the size of our faith. We have faith in the object of our faith, and the object of our faith is Jesus. Our shield is alive. It's our God. Genesis 15:1 says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Proverbs 35 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Psalm 28:7, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Our shield is alive. The shield of faith for everyday living, the person of Jesus. Once we have saving faith, we have a sustaining faith. It's Christ himself that we know who God is. We take him at his word. Regardless of circumstances around me, I'm going to trust Jesus. But we've got to exercise that faith. Look at verse 16 again. It says, taking the shield of faith. That word taking is an active word in the Greek language. The Roman soldier just didn't have a shield glued to his back. That Roman soldier made a choice, a willful choice, to pick up his shield, to carry his shield, and to lift that shield up. You and I walking in faith on a daily basis, not by sight, but walking by faith, is an act of the will. Believing is always an exercise of the will, Christian. It does not happen automatically. You and I make a choice every day to walk in faith or to not walk in faith. How do we exercise our faith? Number one, we surrender to the Lord daily because I know who God is through Christ and I believe him in his word. Number two, we exercise our shield of faith when we pray. We pray, God, would you protect my mind? And God, would you strengthen my faith? We're like the man in Mark chapter 9 who said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. We lift the shield of faith daily because we feed on the word of God, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Whatever area you identify is the weak area of your life where Satan is always shooting his darts at you. Maybe it's the fear of the future. It can be anything. Whatever it is, identify that weak area that he's always shooting into your thought life, and then memorize a verse of scripture about that issue. Memorize it. You can go to Google and type in Bible verses about fear, or Bible verses about stress, or Bible verses about, you know, anger or whatever. And then as soon as one of those darts hits your head, you fire right back the word of God that you've memorized and hid in your heart. You surrender, you pray, you feed your faith on the word of God, and you've got to be connected and you've got to be committed to the church. Don't leave the turtle. Okay, be committed to the turtle. Those Roman soldiers would lock their shields and march in step. They knew if they went out on their own, they were exposed. And hear me as your pastor. We are to lock our lives together in faith as his church. We're to march side by side with all of our differences, all of our different preferences, all those things. But we have the common cause of Jesus our Lord and his cross. And I promise you in your life, like a Roman soldier getting outside the turtle, if you are not strong in your commitment and not deep in your connection to the Lord's bride, the church, you are leaving yourself out in the open, exposed to his attack. God wants us to be together. I mean, imagine in that day, The fire arrows are flying. The battle is raging. Imagine one Roman soldier standing there with no shield. I mean, he's probably a goner. Imagine another Roman soldier who has a shield, but he's standing in front of the shield. Not very smart. Imagine another Roman soldier who has a shield. He's not standing in front of the shield. He's got the shield behind him. We know if you stand in front of the shield or if you stand beside the shield, you might as well not have a shield. Here is shield usage 101. Get behind and stay behind the shield. You want the shield between you and the enemy. If we are faithless, we are shieldless. When the shield is in front of us, the shield absorbs the blow. The shield absorbs the burn of the enemy. But when we are shieldless, if we aren't behind the shield of the faith of the person of Christ and trusting Him, you and I absorb the blow. You and I absorb the burn. And hear me, it never stops with us. Our families will be hit and hurt and burned. The church will be hit and hurt and burned. Because if we're faithless, we're shieldless, and someone's going to absorb the blow, either the shield or us. You know those big targets, those big archery targets that are, they're like blue and yellow and red. They're massive and round and so colorful. I've often thought, who in the world could miss that target? If you and I are faithless, if we're going through life trying to control it all, trying to keep it all going in our own power, our own wisdom, and we don't intentionally, willfully get behind our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for His sustaining everyday faith, where we take Him at His word and we trust Him no matter what, and we're surrendered and we're praying and we're in the word and we're memorizing scripture to fight it, and we're connected and committed to His church. We are just, if we don't do that, we are just a big, bright, round, walking target that's going to look like Custer at Little Bighorn. We're going to be a fire arrow pincushion. But if we stay behind the shield of faith, look at the promise in verse 16. It says, which you will be able, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able. It's a promise of victory by His power. You will be able to quench. The Bible does not say deflect, to bounce the arrow off. Quench means to put it out, extinguish that thought before it turns into sin and conquers and controls our attitudes and our activities. And it says you'll be able to quench about 96% of the fiery darts. No, it says all, 100%. The Roman soldier's shield covered the soldier from head to toe, and I promise you, God's shield is big enough to cover anything and everything and all things that may attack your heart and attack your mind and attack your life. It's big enough. And we face it all in faith so we can live strong in life struggles. Hey, I'm going to go Roman history on you, okay? Around the days that Paul wrote Ephesians 6, the Roman Empire, around that time frame, basically, they were having horrible civil wars. You talk about bloody, vicious warfare, the Roman Empire civil wars. Well, there was, in the days of Paul, this guy was a contemporary of Paul, there was a Roman historian named Suetonius. Suetonius wrote a book in the days of Paul, a little after that, called The 12 Caesars. And in his book called The 12 Caesars, he told the story of a Roman soldier, a centurion called Cassius Scaiva. Cassius Scaiva, this centurion, was involved in one of the most intense Roman civil war battles they ever faced. It's in the modern day country of Albania. And he and his troop were vastly outnumbered by the enemy. And he himself was guarding an entryway, a doorway into a fortification. And during the intense battle that Cassius was involved in this book called The 12 Caesars, he was blinded in one of his eyes. He was wounded in his shoulder, wounded in his thigh. But history says he never, not only did he never leave his post, he never took one step backwards in the entire battle. He's a warrior. When the battle was over, they came to Cassius and grabbed his door-like shield, and they counted and found out that that shield had been hit by 120 arrows during the battle, and it stopped every one of them. Well, the leaders of Rome took his story and took his shield, Cassius' shield, that had been hit by 120 arrows, took it to Caesar. Caesar was so incredible story of this guy who wouldn't back up an inch, who was shot by all these arrows and kept fighting. He promoted him to a senior centurion, and he was declared to be a hero of Rome. Before the battle started that day, before Cassius was going to guard the doorway into that fortification, before the shield was hit by 120 arrows, this is what he said. He says, "We are a chosen few whom the foe would break, but this day will not be theirs." 120 arrows in a shield? What a joke. How many countless arrows has Satan shot into our thought life? And we're no superhero like Captain America. And we're no hero like Cassius. Jesus is our hero. And we have him, and we have his shield. And I am here to tell you, in your marriage and in your ministry and in this culture and in this church, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You and I do not have to leave our post. We do not have to take one step backwards, because there has never been one time. Check this out. Not 120 arrows. There has never been one arrow in all created history that has ever been able to penetrate the shield of the God of the universe. And you know what, church? In 2014, we are a chosen few whom the foe would break. But because of Jesus and the shield of faith, this day will not be theirs. Say that for your marriage. Say it for your children. Say it for ministry. Say it for this lost world that needs a Savior. This world, this life, will not be theirs, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's stop tucking our tails and walking around like a bunch of defeated spiritual wimps. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have the shield of faith. Amen. Who needs Captain America? God, we love you. Thank you that we can have saving faith in you. And I pray that everyone in this room knows that there's been a time that they have saving faith with you, realizing as a sinner separated from God but loved by God, that you, Jesus, died and rose again, and they have committed to you in faith. God, thank you that after saving faith, we can have sustaining faith for everyday life. Jesus, you are our living shield. You're alive. We believe in you, plus we believe you. You keep your promises. We take you at your word. Doesn't matter how we feel, what we hear, or what we see. We trust you no matter what. God, help us every day to exercise the shield of faith, to intentionally, willfully place ourselves under your mighty hands, to not walk by sight but by faith. God, to be ever-growing disciples who are surrendered to you, who are praying. God, strengthen our faith, who are in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, memorizing Scripture. Lord, for those darts that always seem to hit our mind, committed, connected, God, under the turtle, your church, your people, marching, locked together, side by side. You promise to quench all the fiery darts. Lord Jesus, thank you that as Paul talks about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, it's not a proposition of possible defeat. It is a declaration of victory. You, Jesus, have won the victory. You have won the war. We are in daily battles. But Lord, thank you that Paul is celebrating and declaring your victory. And God, we know that life is not easy. You didn't tell us that following you was easy. We know that we get hurt and we get shot and we get wounded. But God, in your strength and your power, thank you that we can, when we fail, we can get back up and just keep going with you. Growing as disciples, advancing your gospel, quenching the darts of the enemy. Oh God, our thought life is where it starts. God, what do you want to do with this message today for each of us here? God, in faith, will we follow you in baptism? In faith, will we follow you in church membership? In faith, will we serve you and be a part of a small group of Bible fellowship? In faith, God, will we support your ministry and your missions through the use of our time, through the resources of tithes and offerings, through the use of our abilities, through loving people and helping others? God, the shield of faith, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. This day will not be theirs. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.